Hey, welcome back to another episode of The Purpose Filter. I'm excited for this episode because it's episode 4, and I wanted to talk about the concept of bucket lists. And I know you're thinking, what in the heck and bob do those have to do with each other? I swear it will make sense, and by the end, you're definitely going to think of your bucket list in a new light. So the Chinese language is composed of characters that you may have seen if you've ever walked through Chinatown or visited a country that speaks the language. There's also a system called Pinyin, which is a romanization system, and essentially it converts the native language into a more Roman or Latin system using letters of the alphabet that we're familiar with. All except V, I think, are used in Pinyin, although I could be wrong. So something like Ni Hao, which is hello, is written N-I with a glyph and Hao, H-A-O. So if you're learning Chinese, it's extremely helpful to make the connection and say, okay, I can understand how the letters N-I sound like Ni and Hao sound like H-A-O with the glyph. Now, if you're in medicine, you might know how to say the word pain in a few different languages. In Spanish, it's dolor. In French, it's douleur. The French R, as I was taught in high school, is pronounced "er." And in Chinese, it's tong, T-O-N-G. Now, the number 4 in Chinese is si, written in Pinyin as S-I. But another word also written as S-I, si, means to die. And superstitious people that we are, we avoid that number like it's our job. There are no 4, 14th, 24th, etc. floors in many parts of the country, similar to how there's no 13th floor in many buildings here. Similarly, the word ba for the number 8 sounds like fa, meaning to prosper or for wealth. So you'll see a lot of phone numbers for Asian or Chinese businesses that include the number 8 or weddings that take place on 8 dates. I myself took my internal medicine boards on August 8th, so because I thought it was an auspicious day, so I'm no exception to the rule. You didn't think you'd be getting a mini linguistics lesson, did you? But truth be told, I didn't think I'd be giving one at the beginning of this episode. But anyhow, back to the topic of today, bucket lists. Now, most people know what it is. It's a list of things or experiences you want to do or have in your lifetime. The term comes from kick the bucket, which is a euphemism for the end of life, as in I want to do X, Y, and Z before I die. You've seen it in Hollywood, popularized by movies like The Bucket List with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. They play two men diagnosed with terminal cancer and then become friends and travel all around the world, crossing off items off the list. They go skydiving, they drive vintage cars, visit the Taj Mahal, the Pyramids of Giza, they go on safari, reconnect with estranged family members, all these things. There's also The Last Holiday, which is a super cute movie, loosely based on the 1950s British film of the same title that stars Queen Latifah, who has a scrapbook of things she wants to do in her life called Possibilities. And then she's mistakenly given 2 weeks to live and finally goes and makes those possibilities a reality. She goes on this super lavish, expensive, once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe, no holds barred. She buys designer clothes. She eats all of the delicious things in fancy restaurants. She goes snowboarding, and she goes base jumping as well, which I kind of want to do, but also it scares the living crap out of me. And I've been skydiving, which for some reason my mind feels way safer than base jumping. I'm not exactly sure if there's great logic to that, but that's just what's in my mind. So what do all those characters have in common? First of all, they're human. We are a future-oriented species. That's what we do. That's how we think. And that's okay. That's normal. But we all do this. We're all subject to this. We wait for something in our lives to happen so that we can celebrate an event. Or we push things off and say, I'll do it when I achieve something. It's a variation of the arrival fallacy where our happiness depends on achieving a goal, like getting to your quote-unquote goal weight, making a certain amount of money, or getting married. The issue is the thought that we don't get to celebrate our lives now, that we have to wait for something big in order to cross an item off of our bucket list, that we have to wait until we retire or make $1 million or wait until the kids are in college, whatever it is, before we go off and really live our lives and have all the wonderful experiences we want to have. And this goes back to the expectations we set for ourselves and are for our lives. If you haven't listened, that's actually covered in episode 1. We expect that we'll have the right life circumstances in place when we plan to check off those big bucket list items. But we all know that life doesn't always agree. It's amazing and incredibly sweet when it does, but life is just shades of light and gray. Some would say the split is 50% good, 50% bad. If you ask my dad, he'd say it's probably more 20% good, 80% bad. I think he likes to set the bar real low and then be pleasantly surprised. I guess it's a very immigrant mentality to have, isn't it? But seriously, if you really think about it, isn't regular day-to-day life hard enough? Like seriously, there are days when things go smoothly and you think, oh, today's a great day. It was amazing. And then there are other days where shit hits the fan. You're running around like your head has been chopped off. You have no idea where the time went. There's still 6,000 things that demand your attention. And by the time you get back home, you're just exhausted. Isn't that kind of day-to-day life hard enough? Why do we need to delay gratification and celebration of the fact that we're alive, that we get to wake up and see the sun when so many others are not afforded that luxury? Isn't that cause enough for celebration? And you know what else is really funny about this? Do you know what no one ever says once they check off a bucket list item? They never say, oh, you know, we could have waited another 10 years to do this. It wasn't that great. And this wasn't worth it. No, they always say, oh my God, why didn't we do this sooner? What have we been doing with our lives? This was here all along. And I can't believe we waited so long to do this. Let's come back or let's do this again tomorrow, next month, next year, whatever. And be it characters in a movie or you yourself, when someone close to you dies, or if you've personally experienced a life-threatening situation, it forces you to reevaluate your life, to reevaluate your values. And we see it time and time again. People who survived an event when they otherwise should not have or could not have. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because we're heading into September. So I'll just use it as an example. There are so many stories of people who should have been in the towers on 9/11, but for one reason or another, they missed their train. Their kid was sick. They couldn't get to work on time. Their car wouldn't start. And they're alive and others aren't. There's a real existential question that goes through the minds of people who have experienced those types of things. And I think about that a lot. And even more so doing the work that I do, that question is, why am I still alive? It's a heavy question, one that people have debated for centuries and they've tried to derive meaning and purpose from. And it certainly is part of a longer discussion. But for me, what I know from my own near-death experiences and my work with my patients is that we are here until we're not. We're here until we're not. Simple as that. The question is, how do you want to spend your time while you're still here? I should have clarified that sometimes bucket list items aren't just, let's say, going to Venice or buying your dream car. Those are great, but there are also the things and experiences that we believe will bring us immense happiness and satisfaction because we place such a high value on them. But so often we're afraid to pursue them. We say, someday I'm going to be an amazing singer, dancer, business owner, whatever it is. That's still an aspiration that's like, oh, that would be amazing if I could pull that off before I die. And so often we feel trapped by that fear. We need validation or someone to tell us it's okay to go for these things. Like, do you need permission to cross items off of your bucket list? If I could wave a magic wand and go poof with one of those like Siri or AI voices on a spaceship, like, permission granted. Do you want to go on a tropical island vacation for no other reason than your heart desires it?
Permission granted.
Do you want to leave your soul-sucking job and pursue your dream career, but you're too afraid to make the leap?
Permission granted.
But, you know, we all know that the person you need permission from isn't me. If it were me, we'd be having a very different conversation right now. The person you need permission from is you. You have ultimate control over your life. As Stephen Covey says in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you are the creative force of your life. You may not have control over the circumstances that happen to you, but certainly how you respond to them. We get so wrapped up in the day-to-day life, the routine, the identities we've settled into, that we're on autopilot most of the time and we lose track of who we are and what's important to us. That's why so many of us feel lost or stuck. We've forgotten what it feels like to dream, to feel in control of our own path, of our own journey. Here's the question. Can you give yourself permission to live fully? Similarly to how we ask our patients, what does quality of life mean to you? When you decide to live fully, to pursue the things that fill you with happiness or purpose or meaning, the people around you notice. Everyone is drawn to Queen Latifah's character in The Last Holiday because she resonates this energy that's just magnetic. She has that je ne sais quoi. She exudes kindness and love and empathy because she's realized what she wants, what's important to her. She found clarity because she was mistakenly forced to confront her own mortality. She realized the things that were in her scrapbook, this possibilities book, could be a reality right now, rather than having it be dependent on whether she achieved something or whether she was worthy enough to experience the things that she really wanted to do. When you show up fully in your own life, the people around you start to see the changes in you. And it plants a tiny little seedling in their mind. And they start to think, hey, if they're doing it, maybe, maybe just maybe it's possible for me to do the same in my own life. You are modeling that behavior for others to see, for your friends, your family, your coworkers, your children. If your best friend came up to you and said, hey, I have always wanted to stay in one of those over the water bungalows in Tahiti. It's a bucket list item. I've always wanted to do it. Do you want to come? Would you tell them, oh, you know, why don't you wait, put that on hold until you feel like you've done something to deserve it, or until your life makes you confront your mortality and then you realize what's important to you and then go do it. But maybe it's going to be too late. I don't know. But, you know, just wait. No. You'd be like, fuck yes, book the tickets and let's go shopping for cute vacation outfits. I'm getting one of those obscenely large sun hats. I don't care if it's not going to fit in my luggage. Carry it on as my personal item. It can double as a container to hold chips and guac. I don't know. You know. Now, that first response sounds totally and absolutely ridiculous when I say it like that. And it's not just the nasally voice that I put on. But that's exactly what we do to ourselves. We delay gratification, sometimes for years. And trust me, if you're in medicine or you've done anything that's taken a long time to accomplish or achieve, you know delayed gratification. We always say, oh, that thing will be there for me later. Okay, maybe it will, but will you be there? Will I? Will anyone? What's guaranteed? Who knows what's going to happen? How many events, how many lives were put on hold because of the pandemic? And how many people realized during quarantine that what they were doing, the lives that they were leading, weren't in line with what they expected or weren't in line with the lives that they had hoped to lead? In reality, your bucket list is your invitation to dream bigger, to create the life you've always envisioned for yourself. You want to celebrate your 50th birthday or your 10-year wedding anniversary or some major milestone, by all means. This isn't me telling you not to celebrate those big events. Go ahead, have a blast, go wild. But when you also have the ability, the means, and the courage to give yourself permission, try celebrating even a random Tuesday afternoon, just because you're breathing. Because you're alive, because you woke up today, because you can speak, think, converse with people, because you can look up into the sky and see the beauty of the natural world. We all right now have the opportunity to re-examine our lives, to determine our own values, to try to find that clarity and that purpose without having to be diagnosed with a terminal illness. That's the gift. The perspective. It's all about how you view it. Will it hold you back in fear, or will you choose to let it propel you forward? And I want you to really think about the items on your own bucket list. Write them down if you have to. Really examine them. How many are contingent upon you hitting a goal, or perhaps you've decided you'll do it when the time is right? How many of them can you start to make moves on now? You may not be able to go on your dream vacation to Bora Bora now, or you may not be able to quit your full-time job to write screenplays just yet, but can you make headway towards that? Making progress towards the things we truly value makes us feel like we have some more agency and control in our lives. It gives us an extra push and helps cultivate gratitude for what we have, for the ability to even plan for the future. So go out, celebrate the now, plan for wonderful experiences, cross those items off your bucket list, do the thing that scares the absolute crap out of you. Because when the time comes, that's what you'll reflect on. That's what's going to bring a smile to your face. And that's what you'll carry with you. The incredible experiences, the moments of awe and beauty and wonder. No matter how big or small. That's my hope for you today, and honestly, for every single day. Make it happen. You deserve to live the life of your dreams. I'll see you on the next one. Hey there. Thanks so much, as always, for listening. Be sure to tune in a couple weeks when we're going to be releasing our special 9/11 episode. It is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, as I'm sure it is for so many people. We're going to be sharing stories of people who were there and how they see the world and relate to the world differently now because of that, and even because of COVID. So be sure to tune in. It's going to be a fantastic episode. Can't wait for you to listen. Take care.